Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 7 of season 4. This one's called Reunion. It was directed by Jonathan Frakes. Teleplay credit goes to Tom Perry, Joe Perry, Ronald D. Moore, and Brennan Braga. And the story credit goes to Drew Dayham, Thomas Perry, and Joe Perry. It aired back on November 5th, 1990. In this episode, Kalar returns to the Enterprise to advise Captain Picard, who is chosen to arbitrate the selection of the new Klingon leader from two candidates, Gowron and Duras, one of whom is suspected to be a traitor. Tana and Sean are going to be joining me to talk about this one. We're going to continue the storyline that Worf started in Sins of the Father with Reunion. So right after this break, me, Tana, and Sean are going to go deep on Reunion.
Not even a bite on the cheek for old time's sake.
Perhaps you are not aware of my dishonor. I have accepted discommendation.
I've heard. So now what? I have to perform some ridiculous ritual to talk to you?
You may not respect our traditions, but I do.
Sorry. I just thought you might want to talk. A few minutes ago, you looked like someone with a question to ask.
Must I ask the question?
Yes, you must.
I think one of the biggest changes for this rewatch for me has been how I'm viewing the episodes now that I'm a little bit older, and I'm sort of going into each of them with a fresh eye as to how they feel in the universe. And it's worked out. Some episodes I like less than I used to like. Some episodes I'm liking more. I think one of the bigger changes has been the Klingon storyline, which is what we are going to talk about with Reunion. I'm joined by Tana and Sean. Guys, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Wes?
Good, good.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Especially with such a good episode. It's nice to be included on the good ones and not the dog shit.
You missed out on Brother Show. What was the last episode you actually did? Do you remember?
Not off the top of my head. But I wanted to do Brothers, but you guys listening to it, you guys talked me out of liking it so much.
Oh, really? That's good.
It was such a fun episode to cover because it was like really with the dinosaurs in the background. It was hilarious. It was so good.
I think you gave us a family, Sean, was the last one. So you didn't actually, you saw a pretty good episode, but you've avoided a lot of the direct of season 4 at this point.
Yeah. I don't have any reason to complain, actually.
No. And you actually joined us for Sins of the Father, which is the lead-in for this episode. So a quick catch-up recap for this episode is that this is the one where Kalar returns to the Enterprise, toting along Alexander, a very young Klingon boy of dubious origin. And it turns out that Kimpek...
Dubiously sexy.
Turns out that Kimpek, the leader of the Klingon High Council, has been poisoned and is slowly dying. He appoints Picard to determine his successor, which seems to be a motif with Picard. He's getting involved in all kinds of Klingon stuff. We meet Duras again, who is in Sins of the Father, and we're introduced to Gowron. And they basically spend the episode trying to figure out who's going to take Kimpek's place. Kalar is killed by Duras, who turns out to be acting for the Romulans. And then Worf kills Duras to restore the honor of Kalar. And then he adopts Alexander and immediately sends him off to Earth. So
a lot of stuff happened in this episode. A lot of really big stuff happened.
It's a very big episode. Duras dies, Kimpek dies, Kalar dies, and Alexander is introduced.
In the Klingon Empire, a murder aboard the Starship Enterprise.
A very violent murder.
Do you guys feel like it should have been a two-parter?
No, I don't feel it had the problem of Sins, where I felt like Sins needed to be a two-parter. I felt they got a lot better maybe at fitting the story into this episode.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you wanted to split it, or you think it was too much?
I thought it was a lot. It was an impressive amount, though. They really didn't waste any time. I read a review where they said if they had more episode time, maybe they could have had Worf and his son bond a bit more, but I don't know if that would have justified a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Wes, it's sort of the same thing where Data takes over the Enterprise and then everything goes back to normal by the next episode. Like, I'm seeing that as a repeating theme here in the fourth season of Star Trek. There are some really huge things happening. I could see an entire investigation, like a CSI Star Trek series happening where you investigate the murder of, she's a really high ranking Klingon on the Enterprise, and nobody, like, they find her body because they open the door to get her and, like, somebody's messed up her room and murdered her. Like, it's comedic, you know, from the vantage point of the future that we sit in now. It's really funny that worked, that was allowed.
you would think that the computer would just notify, right? The crew anytime somebody dies.
Yeah,
you think,
like, that would be anytime someone attack? Dies, there should be something.
The writers have actually brought that up, saying that they couldn't really do murder mysteries because the technology would always get in the way. You know, someone would always be like, why wouldn't they just know when this person was killed? And it's like, oh, that's true. So I think for any time someone's killed, you'll always notice that it happens off the ship or something. Like, it happens somewhere where you could justifiably say that there's no technology around to get in their way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting. Let's start this one off by getting into the sort of Klingon storyline that we've been a part of here. As I was saying in my intro, I think this was a storyline that I sort of underappreciated when I was younger. And I don't think it's one of my favorite Star Trek storylines, but I think it's really pretty strong, all things considered. The world building, which is something that Next Generation does not really do very well. DS9 does it a lot better. This is probably TNG's best world building that they do across the entire show. This is the only race that's shown to be have any sort of depth to their politics and things like that.
I always really liked the Klingons, and I loved seeing them in from a position of nostalgia, just pure nostalgia. You know, when Captain Picard goes over to the Klingon ship and Kim Peck is saying, you know, I've been poisoned, it's in the wine. And then he takes a long sip of wine.
Yeah, it's a good moment. That is a very Klingon thing.
It's such a Klingon thing. Like, there's so much bravado to the Klingons. I love it.
Yeah, that actor was really great, too, his voice.
He is. It's a, I think you get a lot of difference between the Klingons in this episode, too.
You really do.
Kim Peck seems like the sort of wise old one who sort of thinks that the Klingon ways are a little bit silly.
Right.
Gowron is clearly insane, like that kind of a thing. And Duras is just kind of the douchebag trickster.
Worf's wife, though, she was an amazing actress, by the way. But I also felt that her approach to Klingons, she would roll her eyes at everything Klingon. Like, she was great.
Yeah, Susie Plaxton, I think, or Plaxton or something. She's an excellent actress. She was good in the episode she was in before this. She was also in one of the second season episodes as a Vulcan doctor on the ship.
She was a Q as well in Voyager, I think.
Oh, is she? Yeah, that makes sense. She would be back and around. Yeah, she's excellent. I think she elevates Michael Dorn's game, acting game. It makes his, because he has a couple scenes here that sort of border on cheesy a little bit. The death scene is close to being kind of silly, and things like that. But she sort of grounds him in a way that's nice, like her human half, as she would say.
Yeah, and she doesn't care about the stuff Worf cares deeply about. It's amazing. They're like opposites attracting, basically. You know?
Yes. Yep.
They're a really good couple. Yeah, they were.
tears.
Too soon. Oh, sorry, guys.
It reminds me a little bit of we've been rewatching Mad Men. It for some reason I got a very like Don Draper vibe out of Worf and her interactions for some reason.
Oh, I could see it. I could see it a little bit.
Just the way he sort of like tries to push her away, basically, like he's his own worst enemy.
Yep.
But the other interesting, I don't think Duras is very interesting at all, but this is the introduction of Gowron, who is going to become very important for this series and the next series. What do you guys think of Gowron before I give anything?
Tana, you want to go first?
I don't really have anything to say about him. I thought he was really sort of two-dimensional and hot-headed. I didn't find that he added anything to the episode for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sean?
I guess I'm more familiar with where his character goes. And I actually was impressed by how consistent he was from the introduction here to how he is in DS9.
Yep.
He's a politician. He's basically playing chess with careers, and there are people like that, but I feel like he mostly does end up on the side of good as far as the captain in the Enterprise is concerned. So he's mostly a good guy for Starfleet.
Yep. He's interesting. It's like you say, the character recurs. He's sort of nailed his characterization from the get-go. This is like the Gowron that basically stays through the entire next 10 years or whatever. I think the performance is really good. I asked you mostly because my wife was sort of like, is this guy fucking kidding me when he came on screen? Like, she thought he was over the top. But
yeah.
I think he's kind of, he's supposed to be crazy. Like, he's supposed to be a little bit off. And I think he does a good job of playing that. If you think he's sort of a realistic character, he doesn't really work.
Well, I think the thing about Klingons is that all of them are over the top. They're all just like very intense and insane. So if you're familiar with Klingons, it doesn't seem to stick out, or at least it didn't stick out to me.
Well, the way he speaks is sort of more sinister. Like they usually yell very like with bravado. He has much more of like a hiss when he talks to people. Which I think is a nice choice for him anyway. But I think that actor, I don't know his name. I think it's like Robert Riley or something. He just puts his own little spin on the Klingon characters, which I appreciate quite a bit.
Yeah.
I found it most interesting that I liked the whole episode. It was a really enjoyable episode to watch. But from this point of view in the now, looking at a 20-year-old show, I found it remarkable that everything was so simplistic and pared down. You know, we have shows like House of Cards and, I mean, all of these like entangled webs of deceit. And in this episode, there are only two competing factions, one of whom is a like transparent douchebag and the other of whom is like not much better. And also one of those two guys has been poisoning, you know, the head of the Klingon Empire, which is this huge empire. And it's so simple that I found it, refreshingly nostalgic. You know, kind of nice that it could just be easy and simple and uncomplicated like that. So
Go ahead,
I think with I always imagine Worf accepting Gowron as the lesser of two evils. And I don't really think Gowron is a bad guy. I think he's just a politician.
Yep.
And I feel like given where the Empire needs it to go, maybe that's why Gowron would be a good fit. And why at the end, Worf is fine not bringing up his discommendation, and just letting it kind of pass for a little while longer.
Right, yeah.
That struck me as a strange choice. You know, I think it seemed to me like the strike while the iron's hot. Now would be a really great time while this guy is in disgrace to talk about his, the lie that this guy orchestrated to dishonor Worf. And so I didn't quite believe that he would say, not now. My time will come, but it's not today. I thought that Worf's answer would be either no, never, or yeah, right now is a good time.
I thought they just didn't justify it well enough. You'd be like, if the justification was something along the lines of like, we killed Duras, who was really the only person that knew about it. Kim Peck is dead. So it's basically my word at Picard's word, an outsider, against what the council has previously determined. I mean?
Right.
Yep.
I could see that as being like, they won't buy it now, and Worf having to say, like, I need more time to collect more evidence or something like that. They don't really do that. They just say, not now. Well, I'm gonna wait for when the iron is hot, and then I'll strike.
Well, he said that there was a lot of people who were involved with that decision.
Right, it's on the council.
So if Worf brought it up, he was afraid of political repercussions from people he can't even predict.
Yeah,
but I thought his reason, they did bring it up, so I'm not sure. Like, Tana, do you think they didn't describe it well, or do you think that
I thought it was an out of character thing because I think it goes with Worf's character and his logic and just his way of being and how much he cares about his honor, that like now would be a good time for him to talk about it. And I think I'm not 100% convinced that it's a super right. breach of his character, because it does make sense. The part that they say is that the council signed off on it, so it would look bad for the council members that are still on the council right now. So that makes right. sense, but it seemed more in line with what I know to be true about Worf and what Worf really values, that he would have maybe used that as an opportunity to get that stain of dishonor off his family.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, he's...
How much...
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask what you guys thought. How much of Worf's decision-making do you think is based on his heart, you know, and his emotions? And how much do you think is based on his head and his politics? Like when he found out that his wife or his mate was killed by him, he just grabs his bat, left, goes and fights him.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think that was just an emotional response, or do you think he knew at that moment that he could probably get away with it? He had it planned out in a way.
I think it's that moment itself is pure heart.
Yeah.
But I think Worf in general is generally more heady than you tend to give him credit for. Not you, yeah. but just in general. But he's... Like he's faced with probably the most decisions out of any of the crew members as to he has to think how he wants the outcome to be,
right.
maybe Picard, but that's sort of Picard's job. And like the Picard decisions are driven by the sort of being the captain thing, where Worf's are more personal.
Yeah,
I think that moment itself was purely emotional vengeance for Kalar, and he wasn't thinking about getting back at Duras, I don't think. Besides killing him for Kalar, not killing him to get his honor back, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think it's a... I think the script was written well enough to sort of cover both aspects of that, and yep. I think it handled it pretty remarkably well.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of his point to Picard? When he got reprimanded, do you think Picard was right to reprimand him, or do you think he should have been in more trouble for doing that?
I think it was good. It's becoming a thing. The Picard reprimanding people is starting to become like a little thing where he gets very strict and then he sort of loosens up a little bit after he's given them the official, you know, like I'm your boss thing.
Right.
I love those scenes. I think they're awesome. and I think this Worf one is really, really good.
Yeah.
I think Worf got what he should have. Maybe the punishment could have even been more severe, but I guess not.
One thing that I wanted to bring up when we have a chance to sort of switch gears is how easily the female, what is her name?
Kalar.
How easily she just like rolled over on the, I'm not going to tell you if it's your kid or not. And Worf in the beginning is like, are you going to make me ask the question? Because she's all, it looked like you wanted to ask a question. She just shows up with this kid that's obviously Worf's kid. And he's like, are you going to make me ask the question? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to make you ask it. And he won't do it. And then he's like walking away 1 second later and says, oh, so is your son just supposed to grow up without a father? Like, way to blow it.
Yeah, she didn't hold out. Although I appreciate the show not just telling us off the bat, even what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like, Worf never says anything specific about it. It's just like, are you going to ask or not? The kid seems a little bit old. I think that's the only problem. You know, based on like my understanding of how much time has passed, I don't think he should be that old, but they don't bother explaining it.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know how old Klingons age when they hit puberty.
Yep, exactly. And speaking
sorry, go ahead, Wes.
Well, I mean, speaking of which, this is the first appearance of Alexander. So I don't know if we've been consciously avoiding talking about it, but this is by far the least obnoxious appearance of Alexander.
Yes.
So it's not that bad at this point, but...
Wait a minute. When he teams up later with Waxana Troi, I love that episode.
Okay.
And not just because I'm a wax head or whatever.
whatever we've determined it to be. I mean...
Yeah, I remember not liking Alexander at all, and as soon as he beams over when they're like, oh, two to beam over, and... Worf is all two, and then this kid shows up. I was like, oh, you know, like I had this sinking feeling of like, oh, not this kid. But he was totally neutral the whole episode.
He catches
a bat left, and that's it.
He has one line that sort of becomes the most annoying Alexander thing where he goes, I don't want to be a warrior. Which becomes kind of his defining character trait, which is super obnoxious.
It is.
Mostly, it might even be more obnoxious because of the way Worf reacts to it. But, which I guess ties into the question here. Did Worf make a ethically sound decision to send Alexander away, or was this pure selfishness?
No! I was so pissed at that, and I looked at some reviews, and nobody brought this up. I mean, if Worf had said that no one can know you're my son because I'm dishonored, that'll mean you're dishonored, and I need to protect you from that. Yep. So I'm going to send you away with my folks, and then we'll deal with this later. That would be like a reasonable explanation. But when he's like, I can't provide you a family, like, hello, you're flying through space with your family, basically. Don't give me that shit. What about Crusher? How about you get rid of Wesley? You have a different son on board.
And also because Worf has always seemed, he's not angry about it, but he's always sort of resentful of the fact that he was raised by humans. You know, like he doesn't feel he's a true Klingon because he was not raised, even though he loves his parents clearly and stuff like that. So I thought it was strange that he would send off his son when he would be the nearest, you know, the best thing to teach him about how to be a Klingon.
It's a chicken shit move. I think he looks like a deadbeat dad.
I agree. He looks like a deadbeat dad.
He really does. Yeah. I mean, that just becomes a serious thing.
But that being said, when it happened, it wasn't until you just brought it up that I even thought about it. To me, watching the episode, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a natural reaction. It's just ship your kid off to the grandparents. That's a natural. Like, of course, Worf can't raise Alexander. Alexander is annoying. Send him away.
it's a weird decision. I mean, the writers are really stuck here. You know, you don't want to keep him because that affects the dynamic of the show.
Yep.
But getting rid of him seems like, as Clay would say, cold as ice, a move that really is sort of tough to understand at this point. I think what Sean was, you were saying makes a lot more sense. If he had not revealed to be his father, you can get away with the fact that I'll hide you away on Earth while I try to fix this.
That's what he does with his Worf's brother. I mean, no one knows they're related because he doesn't want it to scar the rest of the family.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing. What do you think of Alexander, the name? They don't explain why he's called Alexander, do they?
I always thought it was just because Alexander was a conqueror.
Oh, really?
I go immediately to Alexander the Great.
Huh.
That's where
she named him. So I feel like if Worf named his son, he would have picked some like crazy Klingon name.
Called him Moog or whatever,
But she's very, you know, she doesn't give a shit about Klingons.
Yeah. Right.
So she picked some name that would drive Worf crazy, I bet. She should have just named him Bob.
Bob Klingon.
Worf's son, Bob.
I think she might have said whether her mother or father was human. I can't remember at this point. If it's her father, maybe it makes sense that his name would be Alexander or something.
She's half human?
Yeah, she's half human.
So then Alexander's only one quarter Klingon?
Yes.
He looks awfully Klingon for being one quarter Klingon.
It's those genes, those Klingon genes. Yeah. It's
all on the forehead.
His Klingon landed right on his face.
It's just that strong Klingon gene just sort of cancels out any human aspects that you've got going. And I mean, yeah, she's half human, so I'm going to assume it's her father's name or something, hopefully along those lines. But other than that, it's a sort of an odd name, Alexander Rozhenko. He also has his grandparents' last name. Where I don't think it's Worf Rozhenko. So I don't know what the point of all that was.
I'll bet Worf's parents would have loved her. I think that they would totally have been like, Worf, this is totally the girl for you.
Probably, yeah.
Aren't they Russian? Aren't they?
Yeah, they're Russian.
Worf's parents are Russian?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have loved her. And they'll take good care of little Alexander until they have to drop him off in the future. Spoilers.
I can't.
That's right. Eventually, they do be like, "We can't deal with him. He's crazy." Here,
they say we're too old, and he's too Klingon, basically. Which is
one quarter annoying, Worf. If you know what we're saying,
I don't think he comes back this season, but I don't know when exactly he comes back. He's a little bit older when he comes back, which would make more
comes
sense.
Back, I know the answer. I've always liked Alexander, but I know that he bugs people. But I think he comes back when Troy's mom is there, so Loxana teams up with Alexander, and
that's his first appearance. That's when he first reappears.
Yeah, I think it's with her because Worf's ordering him around, and she's like, no, he's just a kid. Fuck off. I'll take care of him. And he go to the holodeck without anybody. And yeah, they're a good duo, those two.
Yeah, I remember that episode now that you've mentioned it. I remember really liking it.
Well, when Alexander comes back, it's a little bit weird because there are episodes he's on the ship like full time, but you hardly ever see him. So you don't know if he's actually around or if the show is just trying to avoid bringing him up, which I think they are, but he is on the ship like full time. But anyway, yeah. Does anyone any thoughts about Reunion that we haven't covered?
I'm trying to think of if there's anything else about the episode that stuck out to me besides the murder that people like were in the future and they have to open a door and walk in on a murder scene.
Duras did a good job of killing her without getting any blood on himself either, which is a nice thing.
In this time of forensic evidence and like you distract the guard and I'll go and the door opens and the guard's like, hey, you get back here. And then the murderer slips out of the room to go murder her.
There's a lot of beaming between the ships freely in this episode, which I guess has to happen for what it is. But I guess my final thing before we go into the sort of wrap up would just be, it's a pretty dense script, like we mentioned, going on, which is nice. A lot of stuff happens, which is perfect. I really do appreciate the Klingon storyline. The more that we're going into it, even though it doesn't feel like it goes quite as deep as I'd like it to. I feel you could almost do the new series based on like the Klingon High Council or something like that. There's enough going on there. They're a little bit too unbearable to cover the entire series, but it's a pretty strong show. So do you guys have any final things about it?
Sean?
You were saying the forensic team, Tanner, you're making a joke, and it made me think about this new series, and I thought, what if they had like CSI Star Trek
solving mysteries?
Branches off in the same way that NCIS and whatever, there's one in Miami, CSI New York, whatever, a million of them.
CSI Wolf 159.
Every episode would take 5 minutes, which is how long it would take them to figure it out. Like, what does the computer say? Well, then he's the murderer, isn't he? Roll credits.
That's the SNL sketch, yeah. Just forget about that Love Boat sketch. Just CSI Star Trek. And everything's done before it happens. It's like the precogs in Minority Report or something.
Oh, yeah.
Totally good reference.
Well, let's take it to final thoughts, I guess, then. Okay. So I'm going to play an audio clip. Sean, Tan, and myself are going to come back, and we're going to give our rating and final thoughts for Reunion.
Duras. What is that doing here?
He has claimed the right of vengeance.
You have no rights here, traitor. Kalar was my mate.
All right, guys, let's give our ratings and final thoughts for Reunion. You know, pretty strong episode. So I'm going to pick one of you at random. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Sean, you ended up with the finger at the screen. How about you give us?
We'll take your word for it, Wes.
Well, I did say eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and you are on the right.
I really like this episode more and more. I think the Klingon world is very realized. I feel like every time we return to the Klingons, it feels like their world has been going on. It doesn't feel like it's just been on pause. You know, it's a lush culture. It's a little over the top, but you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
I love Kaelith. I think she's an amazing character to sort of pick on Worf and try to get him to emote in ways he doesn't want to. And I really like Alexander. I'm not saying he's an amazing actor, but I guess my only beef with this episode, which I think is, you know, firing on all cylinders, was I think Worf should have kept the kid or had a better excuse for chucking him off the ship, beaming him back to his parents or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
I think I go like a 4 out of 5 on this one. What do you think, Tanner?
I'm going to go the same. I'm going to say that this is an episode that I might force Kirsten to watch. I think she would hate me for it, and she probably wouldn't get much out of it, but it would delight me to make her watch this episode. So, and I think that the Klingons are awesome in it. So yeah. I'm also giving it 4 out of 5.
But I think that Kirsten's kind of like your Kayla.
She is. She's okay. I don't care. I don't about any of your nerd culture.
Any of your ways. It's very, very difficult. It's very sad. I mean, it's
she
a.
She tries to keep a secret from you. You walk away. She's like, no, 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 I'll tell you. It's your son.
Yes, this is, exactly
it's,
like that.
It's your Netflix subscription. Yeah, it's. I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I think it's pretty solid. It's pretty much on par with Sins of the Father. Sins of the Father gets a lot of credit for being a great episode. I think this one's just as good, which is interesting. It maybe doesn't have the sort of centerpiece thing where it doesn't end with a scene like Worf's discommodation does in Sins of the Father, which is just kind of a cool scene. Although I think the Duras fight is pretty cool for this show. It could have been a lot worse. Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse. You're right. I didn't think of that, but it doesn't stick out as one of these horrendous Riker playing whatever that game was with his dad scenes.
Yes.
So I think that's a win,
There was a slight bit of conversation in the writer's room about whether or not Worf should kill Duras. I would hope that that was a very short discussion because he obviously has to kill him.
Right.
Yeah. And Riker coming in like, "War!" Did not help.
Just a batleth right to the sternum.
This is the first time I've seen the batleth, I think, as well.
I think it is, yes. It's also the first time that you see the Klingon attack cruiser, which is a pretty cool looking ship.
It is a looking ship.
It's much more impressive than the Birds of Prey that we've been seeing them in, which are also in this episode, but they're much smaller than the attack cruiser.
Cool.
Fitting for a Klingon Emperor to drive around in. And the other small bit of trivia is that, in the scene where they use the pain sticks on the dead corpse as that thing, apparently in the original draft of the script, everyone is supposed to give an insult to him as they stab him. So the Klingons were giving sort of intense Klingon-esque insults. And in the script, Picard goes up and says, "You are a very ugly fellow," and then jabs him with a pain stick. I wish that kind of had happened, but it didn't, unfortunately.
I wish we just had an outtake of it. That would have been amazing.
That
would be the sickest gif burn on the planet. You are a very ugly fellow.
Put an upvote right on the end of the pain stick and call it. One thing I appreciate about the Patrick Stewart performance is he does the I have to be sort of a brash asshole when he's dealing with the Klingons.
Yep.
He has the one great line in this episode when he's like, "An hour, why can't we do it now?" He says, "Because it is the time that I have chosen," which is a great sort of response to the Klingons, I think. Interesting. Yep. Oh, I'm giving it a 4. Everyone's giving it a 4.
Four's
across the board. It's a strong episode. It's if you haven't seen the show in a while, the Klingon stuff is pretty, pretty good at this point. So I'd recommend going back and watching it. If not, Sean, Tana. Oh, Sean is gone. Tana, are you still
Sean,
there?
Of course we lost him.
We'll wrap it up now, and then he'll be back on with the next episode, which is Future Imperfect. You guys are going to return to talk about that.
All right.
So thanks, everybody. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you're on YouTube, like it, comments. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review. Otherwise, the three of us are going to see you in a couple days. We're going to see you with Future Imperfect. See ya.